Hey, hey! It's Levi Shabon, back with another episode of Famous. Today, I'll be interviewing my uncle, Michael Shabon. Michael Shabon is a Pulitzer Prize award-winning author and wrote novels such as Cavalier and Clay, Wonder Boys, The Escapist, and many more. He is also executive producer of Star Trek Picard. Today, I'll be interviewing him to find out his inside cover on being famous.
Ooh.
Ooh, recording. Alright, hi.
Hi. So what is this for?
This is for language arts class. We are doing, I don't know if you saw in the email, but we are doing a podcast project, and I chose like people being famous, and I was like, oh wait, I know some famous people.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right. Fire away.
All right. So the first question. What time do you think you write the best? Like write books?
Oh, well, I work at night.
Oh.
So I start work every night around between 10 and 11. And last night, for example, I went to bed at 5:30.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Just working straight.
Yeah, just stay up all night. And usually it's gotten later, like since, you know, all my kids are moved out of the house and nobody has to get up in the morning for school, and it's just me and I yell it here, so
yeah,
it's like a lot easier for me to sleep in the morning and like,
yeah, so it makes sense.
I stay up later and I sleep, like today I slept till 12:30.
No kids to get to school.
Exactly. And yeah, I'm not missing out. Like I used to feel bad. I've always worked at night, but I used to feel bad because I would be asleep in the mornings when they were getting ready for school and going to school, and everybody was kind of in there, like most, they just woke up, they're kind of like, you know, in a good mood and you know, fresh and everything. And I would see when they got home from school, I would go pick them up, and they were all like hot and tired, and
oh geez, you know,
they had a bad day at school or whatever. So
yeah, do you find it like quiet, serene? Why do you enjoy it?
I think partly it's just my natural most, it's just the right time for my, like when I try to, I'm actually was working this afternoon because I have a deadline, and it just is much harder. I have to really like squeeze it out, and harder for me to concentrate, and just things just seem to flow better at night. I just am more ready to work at night. I mean, maybe partly that's just habit at this point, but also, I mean, especially before there was an internet, which is a long time ago, there was literally nothing to do at night. There was nothing else. You know, there was nothing good on TV. There was no errands you could be running, nobody you could be chatting with. There was really nothing to do. So at night was much less distraction than in the daytime. And that's still true. But I mean, now with the internet, it's hard. I have to fight. That's a constant source of distraction.
Does your deadline, is it the show that you're working on?
Yeah, we're trying to get all of these scripts done for the Cavalier and Clay. We're trying to adapt the Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay for Netflix into an 8-part limited series. And we're just cranking to get, we have 5 scripts written, and I'm working on a rewrite of our 6th script. And then Ayelet's working on the 7th one. And then after that, we'll have one more to go. We'll have all 8 written. And that's when Netflix has to make up their mind whether they're going to do it or not. So they want to see all 8 scripts. So that's where we're cranking to get them all done by like mid-March.
Oh, cool. There's no way they'll say no.
I hope you're right. We already went through it once with Showtime, although we didn't have to write 8, but we did write 5 of them.
Oh, thanks.
And then they passed.
Oh, all right. So on the topic of Cavalier and Clay, Do you think your career skyrocketed in like sales, or after getting your Pulitzer Prize for Cavalier and Clay, like your respect maybe?
Yes. And that made a big difference. It really changed everything completely. And there was everything that happened before the Cavalier and Clay and the Pulitzer Prize and everything that happened after, there was just a huge change in like you said, in reputation, and name recognition, just people like having heard of me and at least have heard of that book. And then in sales and in how much money I could ask for my next book. And, and you know, it really did change everything. And it kind of, I mean, it was really good for me. Sometimes I hear people complain about how things change for them after they won that prize or a different prize. And, you know, I think it does, you could look at it as it kind of raises expectations, but, you know, maybe some people have a hard time sort of living up to the raised expectations. But for me, it was much more like, I really took some chances with that book and I went out on a limb and I wrote about things I'd never written about before. And I, like, you know, wrote about comic books and stuff that was kind of very personal to me that I was interested in that before, while I was writing the book, I wasn't really so sure if anybody was going to be interested in reading a book about this, but I did it anyway. And then, so then to get that prize for it was kind of like a reassuring thing of it felt like the world was saying, look, you took chances, you went on a limb and it worked out really well. So then that made me feel like I could take chances. You need to take chances. Like my next book was like a Jewish hard-boiled detective story about Yiddish. It was like a combination of detective and science fiction. And
was it successful?
Yeah, and it got good reviews and did well, and so it got nominated for prizes. And
oh wow!
So
take risks.
Yiddish policeman gene. So that was, for me, it was an encouragement, rather than it made me just feel like, oh, I'm just gonna do what I want to do.
Yeah. All right, two more. Okay, this one's very broad, but I think you're up to it.
Okay.
If you could change an outcome of your book, so you've published it and you're like, oh, could it have ended like this? Could the butler have killed them? Would you want to change one of your outcomes?
The endings of a book, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Not really. I mean, usually my endings, either I get them right every once in a while, I get it right the first time, and I just know, okay, this is the ending that's good. It's more common, more frequent that I get it wrong the first time. A lot of times, your first ending, you know, you've been working on a novel for a long time, you're sort of sick of it and you're really excited that you got to the end. So you just kind of like, and then some stuff and it's over. Yay, I'm done. And then you turn it into like, well, first Ayala reads things and then I have an editor and I have people I ask to read my books, you know, readers. And you know, if the ending's not working, especially with Ayala, like she'll just say, that's not the right ending or it's not working or I think you need a little more or whatever. So usually I've gotten feedback on the endings and that's helped me come up with what the right ending is. So usually by the time the book gets published, either because by some miracle I did get it right the first time or else I have worked on it a lot to make sure it's the right ending, it's usually the right ending.
Hmm. Well, final one.
Okay.
Okay. So do you receive a lot of hate mail? And if so, what is it mainly about?
Well, mail's kind of disappeared from the world.
Oh, that's true.
I used to get I used to get letters from readers. I still do get them from time to time. Probably like a half dozen a year, maybe.
Oh, wow. Not that much.
No, not that much. People don't seem to write letters that much anymore. And it's a little hard to reach me through emails. My email address is not widely known. So I think probably if I publicized my email, people would email me.
Oh, for sure.
You know, people, when I've been on Instagram and Twitter, that tends to be where I hear from people. And I've definitely gotten like, you know, on Instagram and on Twitter to some degree or another, I've gotten like, you know, hate posts or whatever, hate comments, mean comments and stuff like that. I take those very, like I've developed, especially when I was working on Star Trek Picard, you know, fans are, the fandom can be a big source of hate. And so like there was a certain contingent of Star Trek fans who didn't like what we were doing on my season of Star Trek Picard that I was a showrunner for. And so, you know, there would be people commenting on my Instagram, you know, saying nasty things or derogatory things or whatever. And I really tried to figure that out and figure out, like, not take it personally at all. I don't have enough, I'm secure enough. Like, if I did something wrong, if I got a fact wrong, or I wrote something that just kind of showed my ignorance, like, you know, you said that, but like, then you realize that is actually, this is what happened, whatever, you know, when that happens, I take that very seriously. And when I really did get something wrong, or if I was just inconsiderate, if I wrote something that was like, you know, didn't take, I don't know, disabled. I gave a speech and I used the word blind to mean like not literally blind, the disability, but like to be blind to mm-hmm. the truth of a thing. And there was a blind man in the audience he wrote to complain and say, like, you shouldn't use the word blind. Like, it's just a physical disability. It doesn't have, it shouldn't have like moral.
It has multiple meanings though, which.
Well, I guess if you have that disability nowadays, you don't like it when people say blind to mean something bad about people, like he's just totally blind to his whatever. Like, I guess if you are literally blind, that's offensive. I didn't realize that. So anyway,
me either.
I could have gotten into an argument with him and said, like, you're crazy, and the word blind means like, it's, we've had it in language going back to, you know, probably ancient, you know, most ancient times or whatever. Instead, I just said, like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was, you know, something that might give offense, and I'm sorry I gave offense, and blah blah blah, and I'll be careful to avoid that in the future. So like, I try to do the same thing with on Instagram and on Twitter when people attack something I've done. What I was saying is, if I've actually made a mistake, I know it right away and I have no problem apologizing for it. So I don't get my feelings hurt if someone attacks me for something that I know I is not true, or I didn't do, or isn't the case, then I'm just, it doesn't hurt my feelings, but I try to understand, like, why would somebody want to be so shitty? Sorry to use language in your school paper, but why would somebody want to be like that? Why? And especially like to be like that in front of other people, you know, sort of in a public way. And I feel like a lot of times for a lot of people, the person, when you're in social media context, they're not really thinking you're actually a human. And they're not really thinking, you know, there's a person on the other end of this that is going to, you know, that I might hurt their feelings. They, people say things without stopping to think that. And so I started trying to take it apart. So I would respond to somebody, and first I would just try to say, hi, it's me. You know, I'm a person here. I'm a human on the other end of the line. And maybe, you know, if we were sitting face to face talking, I doubt you would have said something like that. You know, so maybe you want to reconsider and try to put it a different way. Especially if you want me to listen to what you're saying, I'm not going to hear it if it's really hostile. And, you know, try to work on people. And I would say, like, fully 95% of the time, if not more, the response I would get would be like, oh my God, I didn't mean to be insulting. I didn't mean to be, I see my language was kind of like, I, you know, and here's what I was actually trying to say.
Got
and,
it.
And I got into a conversation, I would get into a conversation with them, and I would, could usually end up kind of like turning them. So, you know, I try to, I mean, as bad as the internet can be for that kind of, for hate stuff, and it can be horrible, you can engage in a way. Whereas like, if I got hate mail, like a letter, I would read it. I have to write a letter back. I would have to mail it. They would get it. They would have to think about whether they wanted to answer or not. They would have to write me back. It'd be much harder to have that kind of back and forth, at least quickly. So, you know, you can do that, but it takes time and you have to be super patient. And I think you have to be kind of thick skinned too.
Yeah, that's great. That was incredible. I learned a lot of things from that.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. This is really great help.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Levi. Say hi to your dad, mom, and your brother.
I will.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time on Famous.